This is a conversation with Susan Rudnick. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Serge.
So you're a focusing-oriented therapist?
Yes, I am. I have been one for, at least a dozen years now. And before that, I was a therapist, but then I incorporated focusing into it.
And you also are writing a memoir.
I am. The surprise, one of the big surprises of my life, that I'm writing a memoir. I would have never in a million years thought of myself as a writer in that way of writing a long thing. In fact, my special, I do write, but what I write is haikus, 17-syllable poems. And to get from that to writing a memoir, I'm telling you, is unbelievable because the anxiety was an unbelievable barrier. But here I am, and yeah, I guess that's why we're talking, because it actually has become such a wonderful journey of discovering I can do it, and discovering myself, and discovering what it's all about to do this.
Yeah. So very interesting that in the haiku you compact, and here you expand, and that is a way. It's not just about writing, but it's a process of discovery.
It's a process of discovery. Although, yeah, the one of the bridges between writing a haiku and writing a memoir is that, and pulling focusing right into this, is that a haiku really is a felt sense description of a moment coming from a felt sense, expressing it in a way that it's evocative, and hopefully the person reading the poem and can enter the moment with you. And that is how I, though that skill is, and the focusing skill of being in the moment, is how I've written this memoir to a large extent.
Yeah. So the writing the memoir is actually a way of moment by moment being in the moment.
And from a moment, being able to really expand outward, expand into a whole, believe it or not, a whole scene with dialogue and what we were doing and how it felt, but having the ability to keep checking in about, well, what was this, what I was thinking? No. Or was that what she could have been saying? No. You know, so it has been very useful to bring that to this project.
Yeah. So in a way, you have a sense of a situation, and then as you write, you consider the piece of writing, the sentence, the paragraph, the page, as a handle that you resonate with.
Definitely. But then to go back to how it's not like a poem, it's a story, and you're telling it, and it goes over time. It's not just, you know, it goes over a lot of time, and there are many things to consider about it. And so I don't know where we should go with this. There's so many but the things that, maybe I should just say a little bit about what a memoir is. And then also from there, we could maybe talk about its connection to being a therapist, because it has some very profound connections.
And great.
Has been so helpful to me as a therapist.
So what is a memoir?
A memoir is a way to tell a story about yourself, and finding a way, the process of writing a memoir is finding a way to tell a story about yourself. And it's not a factual account, although it does use facts, I mean, in fact, you can, one of the things my teacher, whose name I will mention, her name is Kimberly Auerbach, because she's been such an inspiration to me. And she always says to me, you can make things up as long as they're true. And what she means is as long as they are true to the inner truth of your life. So that it's not an autobiography where you're just recounting facts of your life, but you are picking the significant details and people in your life that to tell a story of who you are. So it's, and where you've been and what you were aspiring to and what was hard about that and how you finally got there is generally the storyline.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. I've said a lot there, so maybe you want to...
Yeah, what comes up for me is there's a jumble of metaphors that come up for me of, for instance, a painterly portrait as opposed to a photorealistic thing, something that is going to give a more vivid impression, sense of who you are than necessarily literal truth would.
Right. Although sometimes you get into literal truth in order to do that, but yes, you're absolutely right. And it's something that really you want to, and also it doesn't have to be about your whole life. It can be about a week in your life. It's something that resonates deeply inside you, something in you that there's a story that you want to tell because you lived it and you got through it and it mattered to you and you are creating a way to really become a character in your own life. And that's where the process gets so interesting because it's you go into who was I, who am I, what mattered, what was I wanting, how did I get there? Those are the kinds of questions that we start to ask about. Let me interrupt for a moment and say I am going to be doing a workshop at the conference on this, and the first part of the workshop is all about finding your theme. What is it that mattered to you, that matters to you? What is it that you want to tell?
You know, what I'm hearing is it's a process at many levels. The writing of the memoir is a process because you're figuring out what is it that you want to tell and how does it come about. And you have all these questions that help you create this process. But that the memoir itself is about capturing the process of events of something that shapes you, something that, you know, that is in itself a process.
Right, right. It is. And so, for example, I know that in this workshop, I'm going to give an exercise where I'm going to have sentence completions. One sentence would be, as a child, I was always trying to blank, and then the people will be writing like for 5 minutes about just writing down 5-7 things that occur to them, or as a child what mattered to me most was, and then just free associating on those kinds of sentences and then seeing of all of those, you know, what's the one or two or three that jump out most at you, and then moving from there. And those are ways of working towards finding the theme that in your life or themes. Just amplifying that.
So very, again, a lot of stuff in what you say, because part of it is it's finding the theme. Part of it is the way to find the theme is you try different things and you resonate with, you know, what, where there is a charge.
Right.
You know, you pick up something that then gives you an inkling of the theme, but still has to be developed. So, it feels like a very, very rich process of unfolding.
very rich. And I'm going to actually say a little bit about how what happened for me, because the other really central, and it may seem obvious but isn't, point about a memoir is it's a story about you, not about your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, when I started to explore this, I thought I was going to be writing something about my growing up with my sister, who was developmentally challenged and had been a spiritual teacher for me, and on like that. And then the prompt that the teacher gave us was to write something about a painful childhood memory. And the memory I had there was about being about 8 years old in the school playground and jumping rope with friends and seeing her in the corner of the yard talking to herself. But the conflict that I experienced in that moment generated one of the big themes of my story, wanting to help her but wanting to push her away because all I wanted to do was be normal.
Be normal.
And so it became a story about me and my conflicts about wanting to be normal. Now, my sister plays a big role in this, but it's not her story. It's mine. And I know from all the classes I've taken that people really, it takes a while to get that.
Yeah. But it's, again, a beautiful example here. What I'm hearing is something about that piece of writing articulating the dynamic in this conflict of you wanting to be there for your sister, but also wanting to push her away in order to be
mm-hmm.
normal.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm also hearing is that in the process of writing that piece, you came to actually focus on the idea that this is about what is shaping you, and the interest of writing the memoir is about, you know, your own development.
Right, and conflict and how I might have resolved that. And from there it became, well, and I have had help from my wonderful teacher, but, I mean, I think she might have, helped me name this as a theme so that as I'm going along in my process, you know, whenever it hooks up in some later period of my life, well, am I still trying to be normal? And, you know, now I'm in high school and I, you know, no one asked me to dance and, you know, still dealing. So it's amazing as you start going along how it all connects up.
Right. So here we're talking also then about writing the memoir itself as a process.
Mm-hmm.
And articulating, as you said before, that it's not just about one moment like a haiku, but there's something that unfolds over time. And you're also paying attention to what's going to be a theme throughout these different episodes.
Yes, and that's what makes it a work, starts to be make it where you're moving into where you could say this is an art form. You know, where you're connecting threads, where you're pulling something on the arc of your story together, and you're seeing how it goes and where you went with it and where you floundered and but there's a clear, and that's where you may not ever talk about your trip. I'll give, you know, my 3-month wonderful trip to Israel didn't fit in that arc.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not in the book. It doesn't mean it wasn't important or it couldn't be part of something else. It was a part of a whole other thing, but it didn't relate. It didn't sort of fold into the major themes of my life. So it's not in there.
Right.
See what I'm saying? So this is where there's a process of choosing and eliminating. This is where it's moving into, who is going to read this and what do they need to know and how am I going to do this? And I'm going to make choices. Like I'm not, it's like a painter who says, you know, I'm going to leave out the bench,
mm-hmm.
put the flower in, but the bench doesn't matter.
Yeah. And these are things that you don't know at the outset. These are things that evolve little by little as you're.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Totally. don't know. Oh no. I knew certain key things in this particular situation. I knew I was going to write about my sister's death. I mean, obviously, and that the book was going to fall, that was profound for me. I mean, there are things you know. It has to go in there, but how and what was it about for you? So, you know, you kind of start to block things in, but there's a lot of surprises.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if we. I did want to say something about how this connects to being a therapist. I don't know if this
that
is
feels that feels so right. I was just that, feeling. I was just wanted right. to ask you that question right now. It feels like a great moment to segue uh-huh. into that.
Well. First of all, I'm thinking about how for therapists who would like to write something like this, that. That we, as therapists, we have a lot of the skills to tell stories. I mean, we're very involved in a profession where we are all the time helping people tell their stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have skills. We listen for, like, what feels resonating, some detail that the person maybe went over, but you go, wait a minute, what was it that was your mother never took you shopping? I mean, you know, like something that a person skips right over and they go, yeah, that's right. And you sort of go into that more. So we're wonderful listeners. We're very good at connecting the dots and finding themes. Wow. You mean your wife is going on a business trip and you're left with the kids but that was how you were always feeling left by your own mother. I mean, you know, something mm-hmm. like that. And we put the threads together. And so, we have a lot, and it's about, turning it on for ourselves, to use it on our own lives, which mm-hmm. we also have done in a therapy session, but it's sort of moving it into a mode where you're expressing outwards and imagining a larger audience, but it does, we have those skills. So that's one way it connects.
Yeah, so essentially that, you know, this intelligent, empathetic listener is mm-hmm. very present in you mm-hmm. as you write, you reflect and listen in that way, with an eye to finding the thread.
Well, the finding the thread. And we're also, as therapists, always open to surprise. You know, you never know what's going to come. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's that creative process, and we try to make space and allow for it. And when you're writing a memoir, you know, it's like, whoa, I never thought of that. You know, and you can kind of use that as well. Then I was also just thinking how the process of writing this has helped me listen differently, a little differently to my clients. Like, I even used this question that I had just mentioned to you as a child, what mattered to me was, you know, what I'm going to use in my workshop. I had a man I was seeing, and he was in a big crisis about his life now, and I knew it, he was triggered, and it was a traumatic thing, and he was a bit triggered from the past. And I just said to him, you know, I want to try this with you. Just take a moment, and I'm going to ask you this question, and just see what comes for you. And I said to him, so here's the question, what mattered to me as a child was, and he instantly said, staying connected to my mom.
Mm.
It was the last thing I never even dreamed he would say something like that. And it opened into this incredible telling. It was such a nice avenue, a way of him to then telling him me, I mean, unbelievable stuff that I had never heard from him about how hard it was when his mother would leave and his dad, he was left with his dad. You know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Somehow this process has helped me in my work.
Yeah, so it's interesting because when you said, you know, that the process helped you in your work. I was expecting a way in which it would help that felt right, and I was a little surprised by what you said. You know, I was expecting it in a sense of, well, you know, therapy is about, in a way, finding a narrative, which is a meaning, so the form of a story works well. And, you know, I was kind of... And then you mentioned that question, and there's something about, in a way, just like, it's not a general thing, but it was that... you know, it was like that, the very specific. It seems like with that question, you had a shortcut into finding a felt sense that was important and lurking in the background.
Right, right. It is kind of, it does get someone into, yes, it's a very specific question, although it could have, it could open into many ways, but you're also, excuse me, there's a lot, there's an ambulance.
Yeah.
Say the word "what mattered to me." I mean, that is like it goes right to the heart of it.
Yeah,
you know, it's a really focused question, and I don't know that I ever asked that to someone,
mm-hmm.
you know, in quite that way before. So that's one. There's another thing. I think you and I had another conversation that it's a little more complex. It's when we had talked previously about how in this telling that I'm trying to tell my story and in this sort of this making things up that reflect the truth, like you're in a scene and you don't remember the conversation, you remember the one thing but you don't remember what led up to it, and how in the making it up, like, well, what might I have said at that point? What did my mom say when I, you know, oh, well, maybe she said that, no, yes, I think she might have said, well, why don't you get moving, you know? And when I construct in that way, sometimes I get to big insights about my family and myself that I had. So that was in terms of almost, a lot more compassion and empathy for my family that I...
At that moment, you're in a way, it's almost like conducting an experiment in physics, or you have the various forces in presence, and then you put them together, you see how they interact, you're forced to figure out how... Mm. So there's a very active, I mean, it's like a role playing where, you know, you have to consciously figure out what would work or not. Yeah, it feels like a very powerful exercise.
Well, I had mentioned this example to you, but I wrote a scene about a workshop that my mother and I went to. That she had, she was an unusual person, and she suggested we go to Omega to a mother-daughter workshop. And in that, so long story short, when I was trying to write this, I had no memory of, you know, what it was like when we first got there. We went to some cabin. What did we do? Because my teacher's always saying, you know, it's important to show things, like how it was between you. Reflect your relationship by working on, you know, what you actually did. So we were in this cabin in my memory, but I had no memory of how, and I said to myself, well, what would my mother have done? And my mother, being sort of a compulsive person, I know what she would have done. She would have checked to see the reading lamps work and how many hangers there were, and how was the mattress, and immediately unpack her suitcase, which I could be very critical of because she was always so damn organized. And so I had myself on the bed watching her do this in my usual sort of sardonic, critical, you know, way of noticing and observing her. And then all of a sudden I said to myself, you know, my mom, she was a refugee, she was a Holocaust survivor of course this is what she knows how to do, and this is what she had to do. She had to pack and unpack quickly and get her life going, and I had a rush of feeling such compassion, and it was quite remarkable that it emerged out of the details that I sort of made up, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how really memoir writing is powerful in terms of power.
So, you know, as you're telling this, you know, I am feeling moved. So there is a quality of your emotion that's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a way, one comment is about how, you know, it is, you know, that very much, not just facts, but conveying the emotion.
Ah.
It feels, it's anything but neutral.
It's anything but neutral. It's anything but neutral. And one of the wonderful things about this process was that although I, in my 60s, am writing this and had this insight now, I'm allowed to, in my book, put it in as if it were then, because it's all true.
Yeah.
That's fun.
But, you know, there's something that strikes me there, is the word memoir is like memory.
Mm.
And as you're talking about it, you know, what the thought that comes through my mind is, you know, this whole concept of dynamic memory, that we're not like a computer that stores information and it stays the same.
Yes.
But as you're stirring the memory and playing with it of how it shapes and how, the concept that I'm staying with as you're talking is that sense of dynamic memory.
Yes. And it's eluding me, but I know Jenlyn has, it's like the new story, the new memory, or the new, he has a concept there that I lost it, but it is about when we tell and retell our stories, they change.
Mm-hmm.
The actual, it lives in you very differently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, so that sense of, this is a process of, you know, having an active interaction with your memory, but not in the sense of, you know, creating something that's not, but, you know, in order to come at, a deeper understanding, a deeper truth, a harmony with what happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But let me add, and it's not just therapy, although one could do this just for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But really, if you carry, and that's great, you know, but if you carry through on thinking of this, as a work, you really are wanting to communicate this, not just to yourself and your therapist,
mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
But you really, it's like you want it to be communicated outwards.
Yeah.
You want it to go somewhere. There are people that need your story.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, that's where it's sort of, you see the intersection between it's therapeutic and it's going somewhere. You're going...
Yeah. I mean, I'm hearing it as a way of transmitting experience.
Yes, it's a way of transmitting your experience. It's putting it into a particular form so that others can receive it and hopefully resonate or learn from what it is that you're trying to tell them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wow, that feels right.
Yeah. So we're about at the half-hour mark, so
right.
Does it feel right to stop here, or is there something you might want to add?
No, this was wonderful. It was just lovely to be able to... just how sometimes a detail can capture everything. I just think... Could I just read?
Yeah,
now, this actually is from a novel, but it's the kind of thing you would put in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's a, from, and it's what I'm going to encourage people to do. It's from a book called The Tiger's Wife, and it's a passage about this woman's grandfather who's died. And in, but in some faraway place, and she's, and someone says, Natalia, his glasses are gone. And then here's the little phrase, his glasses, I thought, the way he would clean them, put almost the whole lens in his mouth to blow on it before wiping it clean with the little silk cloth he kept in his pocket, and a cold stiffened, and a cold stiffens and crept into my ribs and stayed there. So there's a incredible detail that moves from the outside into the inside of this person, and that's, it doesn't, that's a really wonderful line, and that's the thing I would aspire to.
So in a way it's like the presence of the haiku within the larger story.
Oh, beautiful, Serge. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Susan.
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.